So as mentioned, I'm going to present on the use of systematic monitoring to respond to implementation challenges in a microfinance and health intervention with young men in Tanzania. And I have no relationships to disclose. So first, I'm going to walk you through the monitoring system that we developed to track specifically the microfinance repayment in an international setting. And then I'll explain how we use that to determine and address challenges in the intervention participation. So for a little background, I think most of us know that process evaluation is not only very important in determining the hows and the whys of intervention effects, but also addressing implementation issues. And clinical trials in low-resource international settings are often met with a number of challenges. One of those, and one that we've encountered, is the internet access. Despite rapid advancements in connectivity and speed of the internet, it can be limited by numerous factors. So we are conducting a cluster randomized control trial with 60 social groups that are called camps, or clubs, basically, within four wards in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. We're using a combined microfinance and camp health leadership intervention and hypothesize that the effects of this will lead to less STI incidents and less perpetration of physical or sexual violence against female sexual partners. So again, I'm going to present only on the microfinance component of this and how we use the monitoring. So to become eligible for the microfinance, individuals within these social groups called camps had to have completed a baseline survey, they had to be selected into the intervention, they had to attend a five-day business training, which was carried out by a microfinance institute in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, that has over 20 years experience there, and this training was free to all intervention participants. The individuals also had to form a group of individuals who vouched for each other. Then they had to complete a loan application, which included an initial savings deposit of $5 for a $100 loan, as well as basic loan fees and insurance totaling $3. So the uptake of the loan, there were 742 individuals in the intervention group. Of those, 632 decided to attend the training, and 203 individuals ended up taking a loan. So that's about 29% of all potential people in the intervention camp taking a loan. Now, these loans were available in 6 or 9 month repayment plans. The 6 month came with 18% interest. The 9 month plan came with 27% interest. So you can see from the stats here that the vast majority chose the 6 month plan. Now, the individuals were expected to come back weekly to make payments towards the bottom line of their loan. These were led by loan officers in the field offices in the four different wards. So we had four loan officers, one for each ward. And this is a picture of one of the ward offices here. In addition to the weekly payments, they were expected to deposit small savings, $1.50 per week. And when an individual paid off a loan, they were eligible for a larger loan. After the first loan of $100, if they repaid it, they could receive the next one of $185 and then go on to $300 and so on. A problem came through the process data that we were collecting. You see here in this photo, this is a passbook that is used in the field to record repayment success. And we collected data such as the date, the loan amount, if it was a new loan, the amount expected to be paid, the amount that was actually repaid, as well as the amount of savings deposited. Now, the loan officers would take this back on a weekly basis to the microfinance initiative or the institute, and they would enter that into an electronic database there. We didn't have ready access to this database to get the statistics on how repayment was going, so we needed to develop a system that would allow us somewhat near real-time access to this data. So very broadly, what we did is our data manager, who is actually located in India, set up an access client and master database. The loan officers were equipped with one computer each. These machines were password protected for security, and the databases that I'm going to describe were also encrypted. The database used was MySQL, which is a very common open source database, and we used open database connectivity to drive remotely to connect the data to that MySQL database. So this data would basically be sent from Tanzania to the central database, and then we could access it from afar using the ODBC drivers. So more specifically, I'll go into the steps that were used. Within Tanzania, the data was collected on the client database. Once a week, when the loan officers came back to the Microfinance Institute, where they had internet connectivity, they would sync this data, upload it to the main database. Then we would access it on a master database in the U.S. The master database could pretty much be anywhere. We chose the U.S. because our field team in Tanzania was very busy with the implementation. And with this, we could create, or we created bi-monthly process reports to show how well people were performing in repayment. Just to get a look at the interface that we were dealing with, this is the client database you're looking at. The top three selections there are the most important. A data collector could select the inner data to enter the data. They could also select to view it, to review anything that they had entered, to look for any stark errors that they might have done while entering, as well as syncing the data with the server on the weekly basis. When they selected the inner data, this is the interface that they saw. I think that is readable. I just wanted to basically show that as much as possible we use drop-down menus to limit mistakes. Some of these we couldn't do, such as, you know, the amount expected and amount repaid, so those were entered. But what you see at the bottom there is what the loan officers see also at the bottom of the computer, where it shows the data that they had entered. So as they're entering it, they could review this data to see if it is correct. And then they would just sync the data to the server when they had internet connectivity at the institute. This is a look at the master database. This is the look that we have when we sync and look at the repayment success. In addition to syncing the data, we had our data manager develop some, or we had some pre-configured statistics that we were interested in looking at. So we had him program that into the master database so we could easily select one of these options to view the data. And this is just a look within the master database at how we could also view all the data that has been entered, so we could look for mistakes that might be stark as well and talk to the loan officers whether it's a correct entry or not. Now here's a look at one of the process reports that we developed. This is just a snapshot of one of the four wards and all the camps within the four wards, the camps made up of numerous individuals. So you can see here that the majority of them are repaying right at about 100% repayment. You'll see that Camp E, the blue line at the bottom, they haven't repaid all of the expected repayments. And then with Camp D, the purple one, in July to August, you see a sharp incline, people paying over 100%. Individuals were allowed to pay more than the minimum of the repayment, pay a week ahead or so, and some people would do that. So this report was good at showing relative repayment among the camps, but it wasn't sensitive to those individuals that were behind or some people paying above. You know, for example, if I had missed a couple of payments, but a couple of people on my panel had paid in advance, it would show a flat line at 100%. So we had another statistic pre-configured within the database, the portfolio at risk. And this is just a measure of the total outstanding balance of loans past due divided by the gross outstanding portfolio. And that was summed up for every individual to the camp level. So you get a similar view here, looking within that one ward within those four camps that decided to participate. Three camps are paying very well, and you can see Camp E, the blue line from before, where it shows about half of the outstanding balance is overdue, is past due. So then we could use these reports. We could obviously, we know that Camp E is underperforming a little bit, so we could target those camps to talk about what the issues may be. And that's what we did. Across the four wards, the 30 camps that participating, we held focus groups. We divided that into groups that are repaying very well, those that were repaying poorly, very interested on learning what we can do to increase payment within the ones that are repaying not so well. When talking to the individuals not paying so well, not surprisingly, some just said that they had a lack of business. The business wasn't going so well wherever they were. There was a certain period of time where there was civil turmoil within a couple of the wards that affected a lot of camps. Their political parties were discussing, elections were coming up, and so people were afraid to go out and continue with their businesses, so they weren't coming in to repay. So we were able to kind of let that slide until the tides turned, basically. We also noticed within several camps within one ward, they were located very geographically close to other camps who had different repayment rules in a pilot program. And we just assumed that they were talking to each other and they had heard about these different rules, and so assumed that those rules should apply to them if they were better for them. One other thing that we noticed, we had two wards that generally, all camps in the wards, were repaying very well, and two wards where they weren't quite as good. And those areas not paying as well are marked by a little more concentrated disadvantage, generally had lower SES, and just a very tight population. So the results, we were able, using the system and the reports that were created to identify those camps that needed a little assistance in repayment and developed strategies to spur repayment. First and foremost, we had already developed a relationship with the camps, the camp leaders, the individuals in the camps. So we'd go visit the camps and the leaders and discuss issues that they were having with that, strengthen that relationship in hopes that they would turn around the repayment. We also sought advice from our community advisory board, which was consisted of camp leaders, government officials, parents of some of the camp members, because these are generally young men, who were instrumental and very helpful in giving us advice in how to deal with this and talking to some of the camps themselves. We also hold business booster sessions at 6-month intervals. During this time, we request that those that are repaying very well to talk about their successes and what has worked for them and how they had done this, and gave the opportunities for those that weren't paying as well to discuss challenges and seek advice from others. Also, just mentioning back to the participants, reinforcing the consequences of non-repayment. So in conclusion, frequent monitoring helped us identify patterns and challenges in the loan repayment. With this information, we were able to target the groups to implement strategies to try to improve repayment, and efficient and effective process evaluation for such interventions was feasible in an international setting. Thank you.